to the, I wouldn't say grind, but back to whatever it is we do here on Sundays, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You're listening to Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Mulvey, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That is our voicemail line, toll-free nationwide. Joining me today is Becky again. How are you?
Wonderful, Sam.
And Jeremy, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic. So while we've been out and working and taking the taking the summer to do other stuff, we've neglected to talk about the obtuse triangle.
Yes, this is a little obtuse triangle between Florida, Arizona, Oklahoma?
And Oklahoma. So, for example, the story that we've been following, and it seems like we're going to follow directly into the ground and probably, you know, several feet under, given the Kim Davis situation. An Oklahoma judge has given the state until October 12th to take down a Ten Commandments monument on the state capitol grounds. Judge Thomas Prince rejected a motion from Attorney General Scott Pruitt's office, claiming that the court's previous order to remove the monument constituted an undue hostility towards religion. The judge ruled that the monument violates a state ban on using public property to promote religion.
Not favoring religion does not mean hostility to religion. It means neutrality.
But this is tactics all the way. This is clear positioning to say, hey, you're attacking religion, therefore you're the bad guy, therefore we can compare ourselves to Rosa Parks somehow.
Yeah. I love that kind of thing now going on.
Also known as the Huckabee Gambit.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, this seems to be a Kim Davis inspired. Well, some of our stories today seem to be Kim Davis inspired. Like, I'm just going to take an indefensible stand and see if it doesn't give me 15 minutes of evangelical fame.
Is this the new normal? Because, I mean, it's going to be really bad for the country
it
if
is
this
the
is the
normal,
fight.
But normal now only lasts 18 minutes.
On the other hand, that's great for the show. I mean, This is great radio.
One of the things that I really liked, you mentioned Rosa Parks, Sam.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying this person is a defender of freedom, just like Rosa Parks was a pioneer in this, you know, system of injustice.
Are we talking about the Ten Commandments person, or are we back on
we're back on Rosa Parks for just a moment.
Okay. Are we back on Kim Davis?
Possibly by extension.
Okay.
When you use Rosa Parks to defend your position, make sure that you remember that Rosa Parks served as on the board of Planned Parenthood at one point in her life. So that's another
no, but
one
she's
of my
now,
favorite
no,
little things.
She's now an American icon. She is whatever you need her to be. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, she's a Jehovah's Witness. If you're a bigot from somewhere like in space, like Mike Huckabee, then she's a bigot from somewhere in space, like Mike Huckabee. It's one of those. This is part of that whole the religionizing of American history, where big figures in American history, specifically the founding fathers, but it extends beyond that, become these malleable concepts that you can dress up however you like. And you know, oh well, if Thomas Jefferson were here today, he would completely follow all of my politics, clearly, because look at all these things he said, and completely ignore all this other things he said. It's they treat American history exactly like they treat their religion, and they equate patriotism with religion, therefore patriotism is religion.
So are we at this point then guilty of that as well? We atheists who say laud Thomas Jefferson for his secular writings, for his Jefferson Bible, are we guilty of this for lauding Thomas Paine for wanting to instill and create and maintain a secular government?
Lauding? I don't know. I couldn't speak to that.
Are we trying to rewrite the history books?
Right. Well, I think in some cases that is happening, because a lot of people are claiming Thomas Jefferson was an atheist. He wasn't. People are claiming Thomas Paine was an atheist. He absolutely was.
I wouldn't mind rewriting history books. I don't want to rewrite history. I want to rewrite the history books that are used as part of curriculum in Texas and Oklahoma.
Becky, that whole cherry tree thing, it's in the history books, therefore it's history. Rewriting the history books to be a more accurate representation of what we know of history is rewriting history to them.
Oh, dear.
That's how this works. But it's a weird concept to wrap your head around, is that we get more accurate at history as time goes on. That's kind of like the opposite of what is supposed to happen, because we forget things.
But we have many more ways in which to document and then re-examine these
sorts of
things.
Yeah, somebody digs up old parchment in their attic, and then suddenly they realize that Thomas Jefferson was a collector of underwear. And now we have to add that to the history books.
Or we could.
Can I start that meme? Can I do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I don't know how that would affect my view of Thomas Jefferson. Honestly, he's one character. It's like it's impossible to me for me to think more or less of this person.
Yeah,
he was not a sage of any sort.
No,
he's just a human being.
No, completely not. He was a person of his time, just like everybody else, and had some weird ideas as well.
So, do you think that the monument will actually come down in 30 days?
It's already come down once just by a citizen's initiative to run it over with a truck. They could have just saved some money and left it there.
Is that how direct democracy works in Oklahoma? Please tell us.
They
please inform
found
us.
It very alarming that this guy ran it over with a truck. And it's like, well, the Ten Commandments were shattered the first time they came down before.
Meanwhile, in the western end of the obtuse triangle, an Arizona city council passed a resolution to allow prayers before meetings, stipulating that the prayers must be Christian. The resolution, which passed Coolidge City Council 4-2 on with one member absent, was originally written to include leaders of all faiths to give opening prayers. Councilman Rob Huddleston amended the resolution against the advice of a city lawyer, claiming that the U.S. is a Christian nation. The resolution will now go under a 30-day review. Mayor John Thompson, also a member of the council, opposes the resolution, saying that we're going to knowingly become involved in litigation we cannot afford.
So at least there's one intelligent and understanding and scrutinizing person on
the
city council.
It's the person who hasn't, how are we going to pay for this? I mean, that's always what this is going to bring a lawsuit. We're going to have to pay for it. And instead of paving roads and instead of, you know, picking up trash or whatever you do in Coolidge, Arizona, we're going to go to court because fun.
And this is a little community somewhere nestled between Tucson and Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's not like it has a lot of, income and infrastructure apart from what's in the big cities.
This is not an opulent area.
No.
Not always.
And to say, yes,
unless it's Apache Junction,
we're going to amend this. We have a completely legal thing, a completely legal resolution to allow invocations.
Yeah.
Thanks to, the Supreme Court ruling that said that you can have ceremonial invocations before government functions. So they had a completely legal resolution, and then they said, you know what, let's up the ante and make it less legal and more offensive, because that's what Coolidge, Arizona is all about. I mean, what were they thinking?
I think they're thinking they're going to get sued and be in the national spotlight.
Yeah.
That just, it's because when your own...
How do we get cut in on some of that Kim Davis money?
Council member says we're going to be sued, and you go, we're doing it anyway. It makes you a meme.
That's you saying, yes, we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it would be, but I don't know. It's Arizona. I can't imagine there's a bunch of other cities that might give this a shot.
I don't know. It might be. The other thing is that there also has to be someone within the town that has standing in which to bring this complaint.
And there might not be.
And there might be, but there might be someone in a small community in Arizona that wouldn't feel comfortable doing that.
Absolutely. I mean, what I'm saying is that there might not be somebody who's willing to stand up and say, hey, I have standing to sue when I'd like to. I'm certain there are people nearby.
Someone will drive over there.
Yeah, I guess.
Do that.
I don't understand what they're aiming for. Are they trying to, wow, I really like that movie Inherit the Wind, but the ending stinks. We need to recast it where all the secular people, the people who have like facts and stuff, lose, because that's complete crap.
So apparently, though, there was the city attorney. The city attorney, Dennis Fitzgibbon, said, we're going to get sued. And the city attorney said, well, that's why we pay him, to avoid us getting into these problems. And Fitzgibbon responded, oh, you'll get into this problem.
Yeah.
So the city attorney actually said, no, really, this is going to happen. Please don't do this.
The lawyer says, I'm not Harry Potter. this is not legal LARPing. You know, it's
having a lawyer for your city council, for your city, having a city attorney does not mean that that indemnifies you.
So now you're wasting even more money just ignoring your lawyer's advice. That
yes.
can't be cheap.
No,
short
can't
or
be.
Long term.
Not at all.
Now, the guy bringing this about is a devout person who might feel that he's on a Blues Brothers mission from God.
Fair enough.
To make some precedent. It's not going to work.
Because
it's just not going to work.
Never works.
And also, the great thing about this is there's no legal definition in that area, or probably at all, of what constitutes Christianity.
So, could we invoke a Christian invocation?
Christian Cthulhu, coming soon to an Arizona town hall meeting.
Yeah.
We could.
I like this
How
idea.
About Lucian Greaves? Because, I mean, if they're playing into the whole Satan aspect, that kind of includes the whole mythology. So, technically, could be considered some form of Christianity if you actually believed it.
Since Satan does come from a Christian...
it's amazing to make the argument that Christianity is under attack in this country when you're still managing to pass laws like this.
Yeah.
We are so discriminated against that we've managed to pass a law saying no one else can have a prayer at our town hall meeting.
Yeah. We're so oppressed we have entire states just saying, you know what? This whole federal law thing stinks. We're going to move on from it. We're totally not going to...
I want to know, since Eye of the Tiger can no longer be used, upon the release of someone from jail, you know, Kim Davis was released from jail to Eye of the Tiger, right? Blasting in the background. To which the artists were disturbed and distraught. What other backing music could you use for Coolidge City in Arizona? What backing music could you use for "We'll defend this lawsuit only and have Christian prayers"?
What's that Bruce Springsteen song that's about leaving wherever you are? Like, he really wanted to get out of New Jersey. Didn't New Jersey adopt that as its state song?
I don't know.
Yeah. Probably something from Tom Waits, I'm guessing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just very sad, slow, and gravelly.
Yeah. About how much this place stinks. Oh, yeah, Singapore. Singapore would work.
Sounds good.
What, nothing? Nothing?
You think Tom Waits would protest?
Probably. Jeez. So we have there's also this thing going on in Europe right now. There's this huge refugee crisis, and it seems like everybody is bickering about how many singles of people. You know, oh, we'll take 5. Yeah, we'll take 6. Yeah, whatevs. And then there's like 30,000 of them. It's weird. Pope Francis declared that churches that were unwilling to accept refugees should start paying taxes. The Pope was being interviewed on Portuguese radio when he described churches that stay empty or become hotels to make money. It's common practice in Europe for churches to bring money in by renting out facilities. According to the Pope, this practice makes churches into businesses and therefore should be taxed. The Pope said that he was taking 2 refugee families in himself for as long as the Lord wants. 2
families.
2.
I mean, Vatican City is like 1.4 square miles or something to that effect.
Yeah, how many? Okay, let's take 1.4 square miles and set it down using where we are right now as a center. How many people are here?
More than 2 families worth.
Yeah, I mean, you could put up some bunk beds in the in St. Peter's. I mean, you could. Well, what would stop you? That's using, you know, doing work of the Lord, wouldn't it be?
I actually find this kind of interesting, though, that empty hotels, they're having such problems filling the pews that churches in Europe, Catholic churches in Europe, have been converted into pensions and
so you sleep on the pews? That doesn't strike me as particularly comfortable.
I don't know if you sleep on the pews or you're in the cloisters, but hey, I mean, that would be a really reasonable place to house refugees. And he's got something here. He's got something going on.
Well, yeah, he says, Pope says that these churches should be taxed. I kind of half agree with him. Don't think, you know, it's one of those doesn't go far enough things.
And what about the other half of the churches?
Yeah, how about the other ones?
Well, yeah. We'll see what he says this week, since the Pope is making an historic visit to the United States, coming up from Latin America.
Well, so. Specifically Cuba, right? Or did he stop somewhere else in between?
Yeah, stopping in Cuba and then coming up to the States.
The Pope plays Cuba like every year, right?
Yeah, totally.
His international tour.
Do they make tour shirts for the Pope?
They should.
Do they? Because that would be really cool.
I think a few years ago when it was like the Youth Jubilee year and there was youth gatherings all over the place, they did have those t-shirts with the band tour dates.
PopeDecon 2016! I would absolutely wear that shirt because... I'm a hipster. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go into a break. When we come back, we're going to make bombs.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month, we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
You can advertise on Ask an...
Billy, I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide a bajillion dollars in your locker.
Wow, a bajillion dollars?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And since we've been gone for most of a month, we have a lot of people to thank, actually. It's been a long time since we've done Peggy's Challenge, and I believe I have compiled the complete list of people. So I would like to do that now. I would like to thank Erica from Seattle, twice. Nick from the Internet, twice. Paul from Mount Rainier, twice. Emmanuel from the Internet, twice. David from the Internet, Clint of the cool email address, Alexander of the Internet, John from Idaho, Chuck from Oregon, and Rick from Elma. Thank you all for meeting Peggy's Challenge, which is the challenge to the listeners of Ask an Atheist to help keep lights on. If you'd like to help us out, you can go to our website, askanatheist.tv. Click on the yellow button on the right-hand side. It'll take you straight to our PayPal page. Every dollar you give us goes directly toward show production. You can also advertise with us if you're so inclined. So, bombs.
Bombs. Clocks. Clocks. You mean clocks.
Kinda. A 14-year-old was arrested for bringing a homemade clock to school that was mistaken for a bomb. Ahmed Mohammed, a freshman at MacArthur High School in Dallas County, Texas, built the clock at home and brought it to show his teacher. Mohammed was taken to school authorities and then arrested by police and taken to a juvenile detention facility before being released. Mohammed was received national support, including an invitation by the president to meet some NASA scientists. He also announced his intention to transfer to a different school. Becky.
Yes. So, this incensed me, as one might imagine, and we might even have some, things going on, in the background. And, you know, in a school, it's really difficult to say, that I honestly think that this child should have been arrested. It just, in a school context, I'm just appalled by this particular action. It's as much a comment for me as, a young boy named Ahmed Mohammed and, the color of his skin and his religious faith, as it is a comment on our hair trigger, reactions to schools and to children in schools and the arrest rate that we have of young children in public schools is appalling to me. And this particular incident is a comment as much as on racism as it is our school policing policies.
Absolutely. It's a weird thing. Well, and also the response has been very strange. Jeremy, you had some questions about this one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Such as?
Such as, how do you know what a bomb looks like if you're a teacher? And if you're you just send him to the principal's? I don't exactly know what happened. It's hard to say, you know, how much did they overreact, or was there, or was it just racism for fun? Like, that could be construed as a bomb. Let's take him down to the principal. Because if you think it's a bomb, doesn't the bomb squad show up?
That's supposed to be what happens.
I would assume.
Becky, do they deserve... You have been through many education courses. You have a degree in it. Did they ever take you aside and point to a thing and said, this is a bomb. If you see one of these, go nuts.
No, no. And certainly not go nuts. I mean, here's the thing. When we have a concern about a behavior or a device or anything that is in school, we have the authority to say, you know what, you need to bring that up to the office. You know, I ask students to put away their cell phones all the time. And that's a matter of, you know, not disrupting the learning environment, all those kinds of things. We do use our cell phones in class for educational purposes. But if there was something that was distracting in class, hey, you've got your Axe body spray, put it away or else it goes up to the office and stays in the vault and the parent can pick it up later. I have no idea why something like this, if it were distracting to an English teacher.
Vault?
The vault?
Yeah, that's what it's called. We've got a little locked area for, you know, things that get confiscated.
Axe body spray, it should probably be taken outside and exploded.
That would be a better,
it is
better
combustible.
Candidate. A better candidate for bringing down to the football field and having the bomb squad come and
yeah, an aerosol can is way more of a bomb than a clock radio. By yards.
Indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to hear from the teacher that made the decision to send this kid to the office. How terrified was she?
I'm not sure at that point. I mean,
we haven't heard anything from her, right?
No, apparently it was that the English teacher had, you know, was teaching, and there were some noises and some beeps being made from a kid's backpack, like you do. Mm-hmm. Like if a cell phone is beeping in a backpack, I'd say turn it off, put your cell phone away. Mm-hmm. He opens it up; it's not a cell phone. That's something unexpected. I might, you know, inquire a little bit more, being like, "Oh, is that your project for your engineering class?" Since apparently the first teacher he had brought it to was his engineering teacher, and this was a child that came from middle school on the robotics team. I might say, "Hey, put away your engineering class project since we're in English class." But to not be able to think beyond, this is a child named whose last name is Muhammad, and he has something that looks like it has wires and circuit boards. I think, you know what, I'm not going to panic, but I'm just going to call the principal and have him escorted down. Mm-hmm. That to me, yeah, it, if you think it's a bomb, right? If you think that there's
a danger.
Well,
calling the bomb squad or juvenile detention doesn't usually require the principal's input?
It would require.
So the principal was part of this chain of ridiculousness.
I would agree.
Maybe in Texas, we don't know.
That's true.
What the bomb manual for Texas public school is, I have no idea.
I imagine it's something a lot like what it is here. After 9/11 that they really went crazy with the lockdown procedures, and there was like a national education thing about, because I know they did it after Columbine, and they did it again when more school shootings happened. But then when 9/11 happened was when there was like the big national push for lockdown procedures.
I'm not sure. I think that really, from my experience of being a high schooler to being a college student doing student teaching work to being a teacher in that whole period of the late 90s through now, basically, I associated much more with school violence than with anything related to 9/11.
Okay.
But we definitely have instructions every year in how to alert people, how to call, you know, request for a lockdown, how to, you know, request for help and all those kinds of things. And as far as I can tell, this wasn't there. Now, it wouldn't have been out of character to say, you know what, this is a distracting device. You know, what's going on here? You know, have one of the dean maybe talk to the kid about it and then send him back to the class. But for then the administration to say, I think this requires arrest, is just absurd. It is absurd in my view.
The response by our community has been far from sane, hasn't it?
Our community meaning skeptical, atheist folks.
Yeah.
So initially I was quite buoyed by the Obama tweets. Hey, cool clock, Ahmed. You know, we should bring it by the White House. We should have more kids invested in science. That's what makes America great. Nice nod there, President Obama. But in the wake of that, you know, he's gotten a lot of attention. He's got invites from Mark Zuckerberg for Facebook. He's gotten Microsoft sending him whole bunches of gadgets and things like that. There have been some people that have started looking at things ostensibly through a skeptical lens that I find to be through rather a nasty lens. People are saying, well, this boy is claiming that he invented this. He didn't invent this.
Some people. Let's name names here. Okay. Who are we talking about?
So, one, Richard Dawkins, the ever-eminent Richard Dawkins, who's great at biology, not great at PR.
Captain Foot and Mouth.
Yeah.
Not a linguist.
Yeah.
So, he may not be a linguist, but, you know, he has no problem commenting on mincing of words. Dawkins apparently tweeted, "It's fine to disassemble and reassemble a clock, but don't claim it's your invention." So here's the thing. If a 14-year-old boy who's in his very first month of high school says, "Hey, yeah, I like to do inventions and I like to take things apart." I mean, what kid hasn't taken apart a VCR and gone, "Wow, cool, weird." Okay, maybe kids that were born in 2002. But hey, you know, if a kid wants to tinker and you say, I'm going to disbelieve everything and I'm going to say that he shouldn't get all of this attention just because he used the word invention when it wasn't, you know, this is my project, I don't really have respect for that. And then Richard Dawkins went on to say, although his English seems good, it's possible he doesn't know the meaning of invention.
Which sounds like backpedaling.
It does. And
kind of insulting backpedaling, but it's backpedaling nonetheless.
And then Dawkins says, you know,
it's just like trying to be part of the issue when you don't even need to be there.
Why? Yeah.
A child?
Have you seen him?
The term invention? Hang on. What?
Yeah, what?
Or arrest him and detain him without his
parents
present.
He's at Oxford, right?
He is.
I think that might be a little bit weird about language there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Dawkins did say he should not have been arrested. But here's the thing. You're criticizing a 14-year-old boy.
He shouldn't have been arrested. Just ridiculed for his choice of words.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, lay off.
At an international level.
Here's another thing. Here's another thing. So apparently he's done interviews and one can hear a female voice in the background, which seems to be either commenting or feeding him answers. This is a 14-year-old child. If I were a parent of a 14-year-old child who is now getting international attention...
Can anything these days happen in American politics with some knob saying... without some knob saying false flag?
I don't know.
That happen? Because that's what this is. That's absolutely what this is. This is somebody saying, oh, it's a false flag operation because there's somebody... there's somebody talking to him. Where you're a 14-year-old boy who might be a little bit introverted and you like to play with circuits, a little less about talking with people... Maybe you need somebody with you when you're on national television.
Or you're a mother wanting to watch out for your child to say, hey, I want to make sure what gets out.
But let's say it's not even, let's say it is a coach. Let's give him that. It's some sort of coach who's trying to get him through the interview. He's 14 years old, maybe introverted, maybe not used to this, maybe needs a little help. Where's the problem here?
I don't see a problem with it at all.
Yeah, geez. But the thing is, I don't know if this is race. Race may be a complicating factor, a major complicating factor, but how many, like, engineering, weird, circuity type people who were that way in high school have stories about bringing something to school and getting arrested or getting in trouble or...
So Apple's Wozniak actually attested to this. Now, Ahmed was arrested for making a hoax bomb. The thing is that Woz actually did make a hoax bomb. He said, I had an electric metronome. It was rigged to my buddy's locker, so when you open the locker, it would tick faster, and the principal tore out into the football field and threw it, and I couldn't contain my laughter, and I spent the night in juvie. That is actually an example of a hoax bomb.
I didn't spend the night in juvie, but I brought some radio gear to work. Well, not work, blah. Sorry. I got some radio gear at school because I was buying a new radio and was putting it together, and they thought something untoward and drug related was going on because it was the 90s and we were all on drugs. But I can't take the idea out of it that brown person with a circuit board bomb, oh my god, I've seen all those movies, it must be a bomb. I just, that drives me nuts. And then the sort of skeptical response, skeptical is not the same thing as just not believing what you're told. Not believing what you're told is just as much of a gut response as completely believing what you're told. Being a sheeple, if you will.
My biggest problem with the whole thing seems to be that there's a policy in place with the school where you can just see a device, panic, and have a kid thrown in jail for a few hours based on essentially nothing.
That's basically what this is.
Zero tolerance policies do not work.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And then we have to listen to Bristol Palin talk about it for some reason. What's going on in this country? Bristol Palin was upset that Barack Obama invited this child to the White House.
Why?
Huh?
Why? Why was she upset?
Because being upset is what Palins do.
Oh.
Need there be a reason.
Okay.
She thinks it's hurting race relations to have a Muslim kid in the White House, I think, is what her comment was. Bristol Palin, also a good example of where zero tolerance policies don't work.
Yeah, it's not really good at the abstinence thing. Is that how that worked out?
Yeah.
Ah, jeez.
Here's the other thing. Some people are saying, you know what? His father is a prominent political figure. He's run for different political office and engaged in things. Maybe this is something that is a little bit more intentional.
Yeah.
To that, I say, so what? There are major movements in American history that are about an intentional provocation to highlight an injustice.
So what? Yeah, I've heard that too. Oh, well, you know, he was hoping to get free Microsoft stuff, so he got himself arrested.
Wow, that plan, you would never think that would work. This kid's a mastermind.
Wow, yeah, he's like some weird space brain person. But no, so he decided he was going to get in trouble for bringing a circuit board to school and it being called a bomb. And it worked. Maybe the bigger problem here is that it worked, not that he came up with this idea. I don't care if it was intentional or not.
I think we're in the tall grass here.
Yeah, I don't care if he calls himself an inventor or not. I don't care if none of this matters. But what's important to me in the skeptical community here, what's important to me here is the people coming out of the woodwork, and it's a number of people, saying that, trying to come up with reasons to be skeptical.
Bill Maher had it
all. Yeah, Bill Maher
basically is profiling.
Right.
When it comes to stuff like this. And he's like, yeah, it was a perfectly rational response.
And Richard Dawkins is just in the limelight too much. I think he's lost contact with reality in some cases.
Well, he's a British intellectual.
Fair point. But the thing is, you have to look at the evidence. A gut response is a gut response, and you should not stick to it. Just believing what authority tells you and just rejecting what authority tells you, or the story, or whatever the narrative is, it's equally bad, because you're just going with your gut. There's no intellectualization going on. There's no thought processes going on. You're not letting your BS detector do its job when you do that. You actually have to look at the evidence. You have to see what's happening. And what I see here is somebody bringing a circuit board to school for whatever reason and getting arrested, which, as you might imagine, is something that gets my goat, being somebody who would bring circuit boards to school.
If this child shows up to his Thanksgiving party at school with a pressure-cookered turkey, then I'll believe it was an act of civil disobedience. I don't think we should attribute something like this to a 14-year-old kid unless he goes ahead and says it, that it was an act of civil disobedience. So,
Absolutely. I think that's a good idea. But again, what does it mean? What do you think it means if it is?
Hmm?
What changes?
I don't think it'll change anything.
Okay.
It doesn't change my perspective either. I think children should be encouraged to be tinkerers. They should be encouraged to unearth, and disrupt systematic injustices. And if it was that case, or if it was just a newly minted freshman boy who loves his robotics team and loves to tinker, I'm okay with all of those options.
Absolutely.
Let's not panic and be terrified of children.
I think it's time to move on.
Agreed.
And I think that's a great place to end. A member of the governing body of the Jehovah's Witnesses released a video explaining the doctrine of overlapping generations. The doctrine, which was developed in 2010, is affixed for a failed previous teaching of the church. In the past, the church claimed that Armageddon would come before the anointed generation who witnessed the events of 1914 died. Under the new teaching, the anointed generation includes anyone who knew someone who remembered the events of 1914, moving the deadline for Armageddon back a few decades.
And then, in a few more decades, anyone who's seen a movie about the year 1914.
Can you say 1914?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. You're in. You're the anointed generation. Wow, so a redefining generation.
I like this. I like this. We got a little nod to our past guest, Lloyd Evans, for bringing this story to our attention. I think that it's just so delicious that we can decide to change our narratives, talking about rewriting history, to say, we didn't really mean that because it's not working out the way that we anticipated, so we're going to change it. Speaking of changing the definitions of words, I don't care if one person says invention versus project, but I do care about whether generation means a generation of people versus like 18 people and their descendants.
I don't know if I care.
Well, we know where the Jehovah's Witnesses came from was a failed Armageddon prophecy.
Yeah,
they know where their bread is buttered. You got to keep moving that goalpost out.
Yeah, a failed prophecy is not a problem for any religion, particularly or at all, but particularly for the Jehovah's Witnesses, it's not, because that's kind of
what gave birth to them.
Yeah,
that's a failed Armageddon prophecy.
That is their thing. So what's the big deal here other than it's funny? I mean, I don't have any opinion on this specific story other than, well, that's a laugh.
Well, there are things that are kind of funny about changing the doctrine, but we do have an email from a former Jehovah's Witness, Jeff from British Columbia, that wanted to thank us for the recent interview.
Yeah, I got that right here. I want to thank you for the recent interview with John Cedars, a.k.a. Lloyd Evans, on the recent episode of Ask an Atheist. I'm an ex-Jehovah's Witness myself, but I left the organization before the JW Survey website and other useful resources were available online. Most of the counter-movements to Jehovah's Witnesses attempt to get people that leave to head right back into another Christian organization, something I consider to be harmful. I think more attention needs to be given to the JW Survey and similar groups that don't try to push the non-mainstream Christians into other Christian groups.
So while we can laugh at something that's super funny,
which was going to be my point, is I can laugh at the weird doctrine stuff, but the fact of the matter is the Jehovah's Witnesses are a cult, and the whole point of this is to maintain control over the populations, to maintain control over their subjects, is basically what this is.
And when we see that people who are leaving Jehovah's Witness cult, if you will, then are very vulnerable and at risk of being basically sucked into other Christian organizations that would take advantage of someone's vulnerable situation of being ostracized by their family, disfellowshipped, all those kinds of things.
It's important that there's a secular path out of religion. A lot of people who are leaving religion for whatever reason, they have issues with their specific version of whatever their religion is, and they will get preyed upon and pulled into some other religion or bounce around three or four religions before they...
Well, this is fairly close to your path. I mean,
I didn't have that weird letting go of God. What's her name? The woman who did the letting
Julia
go
Sweeney.
God. Julia Sweeney has a big segment in her wonderful talk, Letting Go of God, where she talks about having to go through different religions, but I was so heavily indoctrinated, it wasn't a casual thing for me, that I was like, well, if my reading of it's not true, that means the Bible's not true, I'm out. Like, it was just it. But a lot of people don't have that path because religion is such a huge part of your life and God's such a real figure in it that you end up with a big hole in your, and so you just kind of move to maybe a universal Unitarian or something like that,
right?
Or a lateral move. Rarely a deeper move, although I'm sure that does happen too, where someone does get in a more cultic organization, such as the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Seventh-day Adventists. But yeah, now with the internet, we do have a lot of resources for people who just want to wash their hands of the whole thing and move on to a secular
life,
which is a very good thing. He mentions in the email that he did not have these resources and that he was kind of fodder for somebody else's offering plate, which might be a bit of an insensitive way to say that, but I'm going to be a little bit cynical.
Yeah, let's go for it.
So, yeah, it is important that we have these things now, and I think we should do our best to make sure that people do know when they ask us, why do you spend so much time dealing with atheism or dealing with keeping government and religion separate, that a lot of our function is to be a support group for people who have been very, very wronged by dogmatic institutions that have really messed them over emotionally or physically or both. Throughout the course of their lives, and let people enjoy the beauty of thinking for themselves.
Absolutely. It's an interesting concept you bring up, that maybe because I am noticing a lot of ex-Jehovah's Witnesses in the atheism community now. But I do sort of wonder if, like, your ideology is so tight and so interwoven that makes it easier to reject the whole thing rather than portions of it.
I think so, yeah, because when it's put right in between your lizard brain and your mammal brain, I mean, if you can cut that section out,
right,
you really can't, because so much of being indoctrinated in something like the Jehovah's Witnesses probably deals with how crazy the Catholics are.
Mm.
Well, when you aim that how crazy the Catholics are laser back at your own religion, you really start to see some wackiness going on in your thought process. And so that, yeah, you're kicking out the foundation of your sandcastle. There's really... Unless you go way the other way and become a 9/11 truther who believes in lizard people or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, you might have that hole in your psyche where you need some sort of special knowledge that's specific to you.
Right.
But yeah, I would say it's probably pretty hard to jump from, unless you're getting married and it's not really a crisis of faith thing, to jump from one of the hardcore Christian sects to another one of them or to a less of one of them. Because, and it's usually a gradual thing, I think, too.
Okay.
Leaving religion. I did not have a day when I woke up and went, to heck with it.
It's not like it just sort of emerges from your head and you're okay after that. It takes a while.
It's a huge part of your life and a huge belief system, and you kind of have to take it apart like a sandcastle with a teaspoon before you can get to the...
All right.
What's wrong?
This is Ask an Atheist with Sam Olvey, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're gonna go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about probably one of the best political clips we've played in some time.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
At Puget Sound Celebrant Service, we want to be your secular wedding officiant. We are committed to serving the Puget Sound region and work to ensure your special day is all about you. Robert, a certified humanist celebrant with the Humanist Society, specializes in secular weddings and customizes ceremonies to fit your needs. To commemorate your special day, each couple married by Robert will receive a one-year membership to the American Humanist Association. Find out more at PugetSoundCelebrant.com.
48 hours, 24 hours, 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEXradio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And oh boy, have we got a good one for you. This is, geez. A North Carolina man is running for mayor of his town so that he can stop homosexuality. Eugene Holmes, who is on the ballot as Sherlock, declared his admiration for Kentucky clerk Kim Davis. Holmes says that if elected, he'll put out a warrant for all gay men and said, "What's wrong with eradicating homosexuals? We should jail them. Throw them all in jail." Holmes, who is a member of the Church of God and the Promise Keepers, who says that he wants to ban alcohol, divorce, and immigration.
That is a very aggressive agenda for a small town mayor. That is amazing.
Well, how are you going to write? How do you write a warrant for one? How does a mayor write a warrant? Two, how do you write a warrant for all gay people? Are you gay? Checkbox. Okay, here come handcuffs, sir.
And does the warrant say eradicate or arrest? Because he doesn't seem to know the difference. Eradicate means you kill them.
Yes, that's usually what that means.
He wants to throw them in jail.
Yeah.
Which I think history is on my side when I say the way to stop homosexuality is probably not to lock them up with other homosexuals.
So why isn't Richard Dawkins and Bill Maher parsing his, mincing his words about eradicate versus arrest? That's where some intelligent scrutiny of linguistics would come in handy here.
I don't think he's going to be moved on the definition of eradicate. This is a man who wants to outlaw divorce.
Yeah. I really, I have to admit, I really like the Church of God
Well, that would obviously be the right church.
Yeah.
The Church of God, not the Church of Paul.
Yeah. Church of Pound Cake. Or the one of my favorites is just down the street. It's across the street from where I work. It's God's Pentecostal Church.
God's Pentecostal Church.
Yeah, there are other Pentecostal churches.
Kitty corner from God's Baptist.
Yeah, it's this is the one God goes to.
Well, yeah, it's God's Pentecostal Church versus Bob's Pentecostal Church.
Bob's Discount Pentecostal Church and Car Tire.
Maryland's Pentecostal Church.
Yeah.
So this is a mayoral run inspired by this man's own admission, Eugene Sherlock Holmes, inspired by Kim Davis.
Yeah.
I wonder how she feels about that, because this is the most quintessential right-wing hillbilly figure, and I know people don't want to be seen that way, but let's just listen to him. I mean, he is wow, wow, wow.
I promise you I will never, ever whore a queer in my administration.
There's a ringtone for you.
He said higher, I believe.
He said higher. Okay.
It does not sound like higher.
It took me a minute to range the accent. It did. And I kind of wonder, some politicians play up accents for the purposes of local politics.
Nope, not this guy.
Not this guy?
Nope. The footage I have seen of him in his quote-unquote office,
okay,
which is an unfinished garage, taking Yosemite Sam pictures by hand, one by one, and cutting out his face and pasting it on Yosemite Sam. You know the Yosemite Sam you see on the back of truck, mud flap?
On the mud flap?
Back off with the two guns?
Yeah.
These are his campaign posters. So Sherlock, Yosemite Sam, Eugene Holmes, coming to a town near you.
I wonder what Warner Brothers has to say about that. Yosemite Sam is theirs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, check out this guy.
I don't think Warner Brothers wants to touch this. They already have, you know, not saying this man is racist. I've never heard him say a racist thing. Just a bigoted thing.
Just a bigoted, yeah.
But Warner Brothers already has to put up special disclaimers ahead of their old cartoons for being racist.
That's true. That's true.
Just let this little guy have his 10 minutes and go away. He's not going to win. He's running against a six-term incumbent who probably has actual photographs and flyers of a political organization.
So my question here is, one, what party? Is this the Eradicate Homosexuals Party? And two, when Sherlock, Eugene, Yosemite Sam, Holmes, etc., John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt does not get elected, is he going to claim Christian persecution?
Of course.
Because he's in the style of Kim Davis?
Yeah.
And third question is, will Huckabee endorse him?
We might be finding Mike Huckabee's limit, actually.
I don't know. Have you seen how he's doing in the polls? This might be where he... you know what? Hail Mary. Here we go. Oh, wait. That's Catholic. That's bad.
Is North Carolina an important swing state in the caucuses and the primary?
It has been...
North Carolina went blue, I believe, in the last election.
It did. It is a swing state. It's important in the general.
So, and would he find footing and clout in North Carolina by endorsing Yosemite Sam? That's really these questions to be pondered.
I was really glad. Actually, you know how I one time I said I really hated green eggs and ham?
Yes.
I don't, because the alternative was this.
Was Yosemite Sam.
Which, no, thank you. I wanted no part of that.
I would love to see what would happen if this guy was actually elected, because you can't be, okay, I'm mayor, go arrest all the gays, stop all divorce, and no more alcohol sales. These are not, and stop all immigration to the United States.
Yeah.
he sounds like he might get along in Coolidge, Arizona.
Yeah, that's true. Well, at least with the town council.
He has tried to run for office before certain offices, but he was not allowed to take... Well, he didn't win, obviously, because he couldn't get on the ballot, because this man is also a felon.
Oh!
That's delicious.
So this is sound and thunder signifying nothing.
His first grade teacher asked him, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And he goes, "A living stereotype."
All right, convicted felon cutting out pictures of his face and pasting them on the back of Yosemite Sam mud flaps, and those are his political campaign posters, where his agenda for his small town is to eradicate all gays by arresting them, stopping drinking, national immigration, and promise keepers?
If you think immigration is a hard problem, like envision, you know, arresting every immigrant and getting them out of this country.
Yeah.
Homosexuals are about 10% of the population.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That is an even huger logistic problem to arrest all the homosexuals.
Wow. But Kim Davis is, I got sick of hearing her, but now I'm We might have the Kim Davis effect, which is the sort of the positive end.
The effect might be that we're just digging up these stories now as the media, because they're so interesting to people. This guy is actually interesting. This guy will probably be some Netflix documentary and will be on his doorstep if they aren't already.
I promise you, I will never, ever whore a queer in my administration.
Yeah, you're right. I want to see a documentary about this guy.
Yeah,
he's nuts.
Well, we know that his employment policies are clearly leave one to be desired.
But he's a felon, so he can't run anyway.
He can run for this office.
Run for this office. Okay.
City council member? No. Mayor? Go ahead, felon.
Maybe this is, for a long time, atheists and skeptics have been talking about Poe's Law and stuff like that. And to some lesser extent, that's more internet, the Streisand effect.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if this is the insane demographic of the American political discourse finally learning how to modulate those sorts of things to their own benefit. Like, I'm going to go absolutely nuts so everybody pays attention to me, therefore I make money or get my point across or get attention or whatever. Maybe I'm thinking they're smarter than they actually are, but this...
Everyone in our circle of thinkers had the kind of the thought, is Kim Davis doing this so she can start doing a speaking tour? I'm not convinced she is.
I don't think that's why she started it, but where is she going to land after she loses her job? What is she going to do?
Well, there are pretty robust Son of Sam laws that say that you cannot profit from a crime. And if she has been thrown in jail for contempt of court, if she goes on a speaking tour, she can't profit from that if she's going on a speaking tour based on her breaking of the law or refusal to uphold the law. But that doesn't stop her from going on a speaking tour about how God is awesome.
And I would go so far as to say that I believe that Kim Davis is literally blinded by the light and hasn't thought that far ahead in her life.
I think that's more likely. I guess
I don't know her, you know.
Yeah,
but I don't see any evidence that she wants to be a public figure. Actually, she strongly believes in her misreading of the American judicial system and the laws and all that.
Absolutely.
And she has made it apparent that America loves these news stories.
Yeah.
Even as our opinion from this news story changed the national tone and the national thought of her, everyone was willing to give these religious exemptions about 20% more people 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
So she's actually a huge detractor to her cause.
Well, that's the thing is there's a lot of people who want to be, you know, who want to accommodate everybody. And there's a lot of people who think that making these sort of adjustments to American politics in the First Amendment is somehow accommodating them. But let's make it clear, this isn't about her specifically not signing marriage licenses.
No, she went to jail because she broke the law, not because she was a Christian.
Right. She broke the law in she would not sign them herself, and she commanded other people to
also
not sign.
Break the law,
yeah.
And to defy a judge. And she got out of jail. It was characterized as, in her speech, if you could call it a speech, as her getting out of jail because Jesus saved her. That's not what happened. Her staff did exactly what she was not wanting to do, and that's what got her out of jail. It's been an amazing little spin campaign from the people supporting her, but I don't think she's all that sophisticated and wants a speaking tour.
I like that there's actually some question about whether Kim Davis has violated the conditions of her release, because it seems as though part of the orders was to not interfere with the marriage license mm-hmm. process. And she has changed what the marriage certificates and marriage licenses look like. So it doesn't even list her name or any of the things that are required by state law.
I feel like it's probably likely that she will be removed from her position before
yeah.
this gets back into a courtroom is the way I see
that,
it going.
That seems likely.
But there seems to be, and I think I said this the first time we talked about Kim Davis, a very big problem in this country with the way we teach the First Amendment to people, because no one seems to understand what it is.
Yeah.
Equal rights, not to deny someone else rights because you happen to be white and Christian. That's not what it says.
I'd say that we should do an episode on the First Amendment and going into its history and how it actually works, but it's not like they're going to listen to my show anyway.
Well, and the other thing about the First Amendment is that, yes, every individual has the freedom of expression and religious, you know, expression and assembly and all those kinds of things. But once you are a functionary of the government, your rights are then reflective of the government actions. And so in the cases of school teachers, in the cases of, you know, county clerks, in the cases of governors, all of those rights of an individual no longer count in the same way when you are a functionary of the government.
And that's all the time we've got. This is Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. You can call us at 844-753-7842. Twitter us at Ask an Atheist WA. Email us at questions at askanatheist.tv. Smoke signals, chat rooms, whatever you like. See you guys next week.